Good morning, Rabbosai. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to our Sunday morning Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer Shir. We are learning Evan HaEzer Simen Hey, the halachas of Kris Shavcha and Petzua Daka. We are going to be learning today Sif Vav and Zayin. We're going to talk about some very important questions. The first question we're going to deal with is, what is the status of surgery on the male area? In the sense that surgery that's done for medical reasons, of course, not for cosmetic reasons, but for medical reasons, does that, if the surgery will damage the testes, the testicles, or the organs of the male, will that render the person a krus shafcha or a petzua daka, and therefore make him prohibited to marry a regular Jewish woman? Let me ask the question in a more tricky question. Let's say somebody's married, and during their marriage, they have some kind of prostate problem, they have some kind of other issue, or they maybe wanted to tie their tubes and have a vasectomy or something like that. Will that, besides the fact that they might become infertile afterwards, will that make them prohibited to be with their wife? That's another question. So what we're going to talk about now is the halachas of surgery. That's going to be the first few minutes of the genital area. Will it render a person a krus shavcha or a petzua daka? So let's back up and make one point that we said last week that will enable us to understand the discussion for this week. Last week we mentioned, hold on one second. Last week we mentioned that the issues that a person might have in terms of an injury to their area that would render them a petzua daka or a krus shavcha is only if it's an injury that happens by human intervention. God forbid an accident, God forbid a knife, God forbid a stabbing or cutting or something like that. But if he was born with some kind of defect. We spoke about hypospadias last week. If a baby boy is born and the hole that from where the urine and the zera would leave is at the wrong place, so even though that theoretically could be problematic, but since he's born that way, if it's a congenital defect, that doesn't render you pasul l'kahal. Similarly, if a person, God forbid, has some kind of disease, and the disease messes up, makes the testicles shrivel up, or some other part of that area become destroyed or shriveled or ruined or defective. Since it's a natural, what the Gemara calls from the chama, naturally from the sun, meaning it's a natural health medical thing that happened, not because of some trauma or injury, then they are totally kosher l'kal. The only time a person becomes pasul l'kal, we learned last week, is if there is some kind of trauma, some kind of man-made. They banged into something, there was an accident, a machinery accident, there was a cut of a knife, or God forbid, any of those things. Those are the things that can render a person krus shavcha and petzua daka. Which brings us to our question for today, and that is, what happens if a person has a medical issue, and that medical issue needs the treatment or the intervention of a doctor? In other words, the doctor is doing the trauma. The doctor is inflicting the wound. But the doctor only did it because of a natural medical need. So for example, if somebody, God forbid, suffers this testicular cancer, it just comes. It's a mutated gene, I think. Some kind of mutation, and it starts, some cancerous cells spread, and it's in the prostate, it's in the testicles. And there has to be some kind of surgery in that area to remove the tumor or to fix whatever has to be fixed. So because of the thing that came in Hashemayim, which is the cancer, the doctor now has to do an intervention and do some cutting and chopping. So will that be considered, on one hand, it's came from a natural source, on the other hand, the actual cutting of the body in that area was done indeed by, I don't want to call it trauma, but by a doctor who's a doctor's scalpel. That's the shah that we have to talk about for the first few minutes of today's shir. So here we have a very interesting svara that the Pischei Tshuva sets forth. Pischei Tshuva is the commentary on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch who just quotes many Tshuva svarim that have been written in the 200-300 years since the Shulchan Aruch was written until until he wrote this, I guess, about 200 years ago. So he quotes the Sefer Beis Meir. The Beis Meir, if I remember correctly, is a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and they wrote what Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Beis Meir wrote to one another very often, so I assume that puts it in the late 1700s, I believe. I am the Sefer Beis Meir Shekasav. He talks about a case that I just described, but with one tweak. He says a fabulous svara. What happens if a person, God forbid, gets sick? They develop some kind of natural infection, and because of that, something has to be removed. But you know what? Let's see how he says it. The tzarachin, in nifsal bidei shamayim, if a person was nifsal bidei shamayim, they had some kind of illness that affected that part of the body, achenechla, they became sick, umuchrach lihinato bidei adam. And now this, let's say the testicle has to be removed by a doctor. Kadei shelo yechla yoser, so he doesn't get more sick. Achemikoach ze omid likatzeitz. So right now, we have a concept in halacha. If you have a tree, I'm sorry, if you have a you know, wheat, that's omid likatzeitz, it's fully ripened. So we say omid likatzeitz kekatzeitz dami. Will we say that something that is ready to be cut off is already considered as though it's cut off? The Kaimelin Krib Shimon, Kol Ha'omi Likzos Kigazuz Dami, V'chashe B'dei Shamayim. Listen to what he's saying. He's saying an incredible svara. We learned that it's only a problem, Lava Bekal, if a human made the cut or removed the testicles. But if it just happened naturally, that doesn't render a person puzzle. Says the Beis Meir, what happens if the person got sick, and therefore since he got sick, it made it ha'omei likatzeitz kekatzeitz dami. And therefore maybe when the doctor removes it now, it's removing something that was already omei to be removed. So maybe the doctor's intervention is not really considered a human intervention, not because it started with a medical issue. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the very fact that the person was sick, and this has to be removed, it's omidli katzeitz, so maybe already now it's considered kekatzeitz dummy, and even before the doctor takes the scalpel and puts the scalpel on the individual's body, it's already considered that the thing has been removed, because it's omidli katzeitz, kekatzeitz dummy. That's an incredible svara. We're going to leave it, he leaves it as a tzarech iyun, but now let's discuss the question of what about the doctor's intervention, the surgeon's intervention. And again, a classical case, I assume, would be testicular cancer. The testicle has to be removed. And does that now render the patient a pitsua daka? If it would happen by, you know, in a car accident, he'd definitely be puzzled. But here, because he had this natural illness, and therefore, because of the natural illness, we're going to do a medical intervention. Is that going to be considered like a human intervention, like a human cutting, or is it considered that it's min hashamayim? It's from the heavens. What do they write on the insurance policies on your house insurance policy? An act of God. Is it an act of God? Therefore, it's considered the cancer was an act of God. The surgery wasn't, but maybe the whole thing should be considered an act of God. So that's what I have here, is medical intervention or surgery considered bidei adam, in which case the patient will be pasul lekal, or is it considered bidei shamayim, and the patient will be kosher? So this, here's a fascinating shaila that the Chasam Sofer was asked in Eben Ezer Yud Zayin. Again, the gory details, we'll read it, it's not so pleasant to think about too much, but be'echad shenolad l'choli bebeya yamanis. His right testicle had some illness. Ashenis ave, look at what he's about to write because it's a little frightening. It blew up. It exploded. Venis gadel, and it enlarged. Kegodel kikar lechem, the size of a loaf of bread. I'm hoping it's a challah roll, but it's not what it sounds like. It sounds like, I don't know. I don't think Dr. Jerwab is on. Dr. Jarrett, do you have any idea of what kind of illness could cause a testicle to enlarge the size of a loaf of bread? Okay. So what did the doctors do? The doctors cut it. They removed it from the scrotum. The kiss is the scrotum. And they set this guy up. You know, he's back to back to normal life. Vinirgash at, so it was completely removed. Vinirgash ata, this next detail I'm going to skip because that's not so much our point for right now. Look at the last four words. The shailava imutul hashos ishto. Is he able to keep his wife? Forget about could he get married. He's already was married when this issue happened. And now he just wants to know, could he stay married? So look what Rebbe the Chasam Sofer says. We have to take one step back to remind ourselves. If you recall when we spoke about illnesses, we said that, is illness considered something that's bidei shamayim? Something that you're born with, everyone agrees that's called bidei shamayim. And therefore you're not pasul l'kahal. What happens if a person develops an illness? Is that called bidei shamayim or is that not called bidei shamayim? Is that person going to be pasul l'kahal or not? That we actually learned was a machlokas, the Rambam and the Rush. I think it was the Rambam and the Rush. The Rambam told us that an illness is also considered bidei shamayim and kosher l'kahal. I think it was the Rush or Rashi who told us, no, illnesses, birth defects, that's bidei shamayim. But an illness, that's not enough to be meiko. So here, says the Chasam Sofer, Yesh l'tzaded shezeh lo mikre bidei adam. When the doctor cut out that testicle that had been enlarged or inflamed or infected or cancerous, zeh lo mikre bidei adam. It's not considered bidei adam that would passel the person from marrying. Why? Dinira, because he's now going to say two chidushim. Number one, how do we paskin in terms of an injury? Dinira, ikur ka rama v'siyato dali decholi mikre bidei shamayim. The first point he has to say is, how do we paskin in this raging machlokas rishonim? Whether an illness, is that considered bidei shamayim? Or is it considered not bidei shamayim? I'm willing to be mekel, says the Chasam Sofer. I hold that the ikur is like the Rambam, that not only birth defects are considered bidei shamayim, not only getting struck by lightning is bidei shamayim, but even illnesses are bidei shamayim. That's point number one. And therefore, look what the Chasam Sofer continues and says, not if it was then cut off because of a human intervention, when is the person going to become pasul? Davka shekarso bipshia. If a person cut it off with somebody's running after you with a knife, then, and he tries to stab and he gets it where it hurts. That's where the person, look what's highlighted. That's what will render a person pasul l'kahal, aval l'refua l'hoshio micholyo mutar b'kahal. If the point of this cutting or damaging of that area, that male area, is for medical purposes, to heal an illness that's considered bidei shamayim, so even the human intervention to do that healing will also be considered a damaging of that part of the body bidei shamayim, and will not render the person a pasul. Aval, says the Chasam Sofer, he just gave us a gigantic heter. The Chasam Sofer basically said that if somebody has any illness which required the surgeon to do anything to his genitalia, even if it means cutting out testicles and cutting vas deferens and doing all kinds of things, that theoretically any one of those probably should make a person a kris shavcha, bidei adam, with the surgeon's hands and knife. Says the Chasam Sofer, none of that is going to make the person pasul l'kahal. That's what I think. Aval, he continues, the Chasam Sofer continues, ein heter zeh mevur b'lashon HaRambam. You see, it's not so clear that the Rambam really would hold for this. D'masha kasa HaRambam o karsan, when the Rambam... Oh, okay, I'm not going to get into the lashon of the Rambam. Fine. You should know that the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't agree with this. U'b'lashon Rabbeinu Tam sheba Mordechai mashma, masha chotchem harofe machmas choli evin. If somebody has a choli evin, I don't really know what a choli evin is. I would bet it's maybe a kidney stone. And I could hear that kidney stones, which when they pass, they go from the kidneys, they go out the the aver, the person's aver. So it could be that in ancient times, or in the times of Rishonim, if they had to do surgery for kidney stones, if they see a little crystal come out from the urine, they figure that the stones are in the aver, or the some part of the aver. So I could imagine that they did some cutting over there. Rabbeinu Tam says that that is considered to be the Adam. And such a surgery to remove kidney stones, I guess, if I'm reading this correct, would be considered bidei adam. That's going to be really tough. That means that a surgery, even to heal somebody from a natural illness, is considered bidei adam and would pass on them. Okay. But I guess if they did have to enlarge the orifice, that could be hurting that could be damaging that area. And if you damage that area, that might also render a person, cutting the aver, that could be problematic. Yeah, I suppose. That sounds reasonable. Okay. So comes the Chasam Sofer and says, but what would happen if, let's say, there's no cutting? Let's say the organ already is beginning to shrivel up because of illness. I would guess is the idea here would be an infection. Amar Nira Li Pashut. Let's say, says the Chasam Sofer, Im Kvar Nismas Meis HaBeitza V'Nisbata Al Yidei Choli. If the testicle already has started to shrivel up, has started to turn into mush, I assume that could be from infection. V'haya kulohaya, and it's as though it's not there, because it's over. Omidli his battle, his masses, if it continues, it's just going to disintegrate more and degenerate more. So it's on the way naturally to just sort of crumble and degenerate and turn into mush. The doctor comes and he wants to intervene, he wants to cut it out or get rid of it even quicker than it would have happened by the natural process. That, I think everybody should agree, would be called bidei shamayim. And therefore, I'm sorry, everyone would agree, anyone who holds that illness is considered bidei shamayim, would agree that that would be bidei shamayim, even if the doctor would go ahead and preempt this disintegration that is happening naturally. Look what he says here. According to the Ram, who says that an illness is considered bidei shamayim and not going to passel somebody lava bakal, look how he writes this. Even though the surgeon's hand was involved, the aver was already, I don't want to say canceled, they don't work anymore. So therefore, according to the Rambam, the fact that the surgeon got his hand involved to cut it off more quickly shouldn't make a problem. But we have to keep in mind, though, there's this elephant in the room, and that is the other opinion, the opinion of the Rush, who says that any illness, we just said that according to the Rambam, even if the surgeon got involved, if it's just to help an illness, it's like the illness. That only helps me according to the Rambam, who says that an illness is considered bidei shamayim and not pasul at all. But according to the Rush, any illness is considered bidei adam. Only birth defects, getting hit by lightning, is considered bidei shamayim. But an illness is considered bidei adam and will make a person puzzle. So we still have this elephant in the room, this shita of the Rush, this machlokas rishonim, whether anything illness related is going to render a person puzzle at all. So therefore, look what the Chasam Sofer says about this case with the person who had that testicle that had enlarged, or this tumor, or this whatever it was, the size of a challah. If he's already married, he doesn't have to break the we don't have to break the marriage. All the more so, if he got married Heter and it happened while he was married, we don't have to break the marriage. But you know what you should do? Look at this. It's a little bit poignant. But you should tell him, according to the Rush, right, this illness affected the person's genitalia because of an illness. I'm sorry, this whatever loss of functionality or intervention was caused because of an illness, you should know, we'll tell this gentleman, you should inform him and tell him, v'lomash harash v'riyaz machmirim. You should know that according to the Rush, you are a Kris Shavcha. And therefore, if he wants to, you know, say, oh my gosh, I'm not really supposed to be married to my wife, and if he wants to offer her a get, maybe that would be proper. But will we tell him to that he has to divorce? No. Because the Rambam says anything from an illness will be okay. Beresh, give me one more minute, Beresh. Then I'll take your question. We just have to finish the tshuva. But, says the Chasam Sofer, that was all nice and dandy. When could you tell somebody that maybe you should consider divorcing your wife? Because, remember, it's machlokas. According to the Rambam holds illnesses are considered b'day shamayim and therefore the yukasha l'kal. And even if there was a medical intervention, that's still just an outgrowth of the illness. You're fine. But the problem is that there's a shita of a rush. We don't really paskin like it, but it's a shita of the Rishon who says that there's an issa d'oraisa for you to be with your wife, for you to be married. So we can't tell somebody he has to divorce his wife, but we could tell them, you should know that according to the rush, you're not allowed to be with your wife. And if he wants to, you know, take the next step and not be potentially in violation of this issa d'oraisa under the according to the rush, he could choose to get divorced. But says the Chasam Sofer, that's in a time in history when there are a lot more guys marrying gayrim, there are a lot more gayrim around. So if you have to give up your wife, okay, you'll find there are plenty of gayorises around. Mevor b'devrayim sham, to have a shchicha leilisa gayoris. But nowadays, if I tell somebody you're not allowed to be married to your wife, it's not just your wife you're not allowed to be married to, go find another girl. You could only marry a gayoris or a mamzeres. There are not so many of them around. And therefore, look at how the Chasam Sofer writes. V'hai gavar rach b'shanim. He's a young kid. He's a young fellow. He's in his 20s. And therefore, you're going to tell him that he has to, can't get married, encourage him to divorce his wife. Who's he going to marry? And, you know, after, you know, they didn't even have, it's not like now you could have a database with all the game and all the mamzerim and, you know, put them on a shidduch website and you could connect them with hundreds and thousands of people who are like them. But without social media, you're in a town, shtetl has, I don't know, 300 people, 300 families. How many gayrim are in the shtetl? There's one. I don't know if you want to marry her or him. L'chei nira, and therefore, what does the Chasam Sofer conclude in this case where the man had a natural illness that then proceeded to have a medical intervention to remove one of the testicles, which between you and me, Rabbosai, sounds like the same exact shaila as testicular cancer if somebody has a cancer in the testicles and it had to be medically removed. What should we do? Halach l'maisa. So concludes the Chasam Sofer, l'chein nireh. Nehim ha'yapanui. If he would be single and he wants to marry a woman and the lady came to me to ask the shah, not him, but the lady came and said, should I marry this nice guy? He told me that, you know, he had cancer when he was younger and the doctors had to remove his testicles. I would have to tell her, you probably shouldn't marry this guy. If the he's the single guy. You could marry any boy you want. Again, if I was giving etza to the girl, I would say, young lady, you're wonderful, sweet, you know, Beis Yaakov girl, and you want to do the right thing. There are so many boys out there. Why should you marry this boy? Where the rush holds, the Rambam holds, you'll be able to be married to him, but according to the rush, you're not allowed to marry him. Why would you get into that? However, concludes the Chasam Sofer, if once they're already married, al zeh shekvar nasa beheter, if they're already married beheter, and yes, now that this issue came up, this health issue crept in after they're already married, lama niyatzal hisgarish b'mak shirov v'kemal kol poskim atir, most of the poskim permit this. Most of the poskim, again, like we said, we do paskin like the Rambam, not like the Rush. And therefore, even though there is an opinion of the Rush, who says that illness does not allow you, that an illness still is considered bidei adam, and you'd be pasul lekal, but most opinions reject the Rush, hold like the Rambam. And therefore, since most opinions hold like the Rambam, then an illness is only considered bidei shamayim. The Chasam Sofer says, even if there is a medical intervention or surgery, that's because of the illness, and therefore that will not render a person a Ptzua Daka, that would render him Asur L'Kal. And therefore, to conclude this point, the Chasam Sofer is coming out that Halacha L'Maisa, certainly for somebody who wants to be there married, Once somebody's married, certainly, if before they're married, it's a little more complicated, but once they're married, if somebody has any medical issue that causes any kind of medical intervention, that will never generate a reason that he should therefore be usher to his wife. Yes, Beresh, what was your question? So here, you're not just talking about a chumra. We're talking about a machlokes. Your question is, why are we advising them to possibly consider getting divorced? It's a chumra. The answer is, it's not just a chumra. It's a machlokes Rishonim about an issa d'oraisa. It is true that we might be noted towards the Rambam who's lenient and is making this shaila, but I wouldn't call this a chumra. I would call this a safik issa d'oraisa. Yes, there's a safik issa d'oraisa that most Poskim would be lenient in, but by Safek Issa D'oraisa, we don't play games. Except here, the need to stay married is so great that the Chasam Sofer is doing whatever he can to, you know, ignore the Machmir. But again, I don't mean Machmir as in the Chumra. The Shitos that are Machmir say that it is an Issa D'oraisa. We're trying to turn a blind eye to an Issa D'oraisa. Okay, any other questions on this point that we just finished? So we just came out, somebody who spoke to me last week about an issue that they had medically in their family. So based on what we learned, any medical intervention that comes from some kind of cancer, according to the Chasam Sofer, they will be fine to stay with their family. Okay. Now we're going to go to the next point. The next point is the next Sif. That was Sif Hey. We're now going to go to Sif Vav, which is something very specific. And we're going to have to get into the biology, into the anatomy, and with your permission, later on in the shiur, I will have to show you a visual image of at least something of a cutout or a drawing. So we'll get there a little later, because we're going to have to understand the Gemara that's a little bit hard to understand based on the anatomy that we're familiar with. But let's learn the Gemara in Yevamos Ayin Hayamid Beis. What we're going to talk about right now is what happens if one of the tubes is plugged up. We'll talk about more applications. What does that mean about a vasectomy if the tube is cut? But right now, the Gemara talks about a tube that is plugged up. A tube, we'll see which tube. I think I know what tube it means, but let's see what the Gemara tells us. Gemara Yevamos Ayin Hayamid Beis tells us a story that happened in Pumpadisa. How uvda da have a pumpadisa? Is tatim guvsa de shichvas zera? What's a guvsa? Rashi says, a guvsa is a reed, a tube. So the tube of shichvas zera was stuffed up. Va'afik, listen carefully, and where did the shichvas zera come out of? Out of the body? Where did it exit the body? Lo and behold, guess where it came out of? It came in the same place where he urinates. Va'afik b'makam ketanim. It came in the place where he urinates. Now, some of you might be wondering, isn't that where it's supposed to be coming out of? How many holes does a man have? As far as I recall, a man has only one hole at the outside of his body. From that one hole, both the urine leaves and the zera leaves. Here the Gemara tells us, this guy had a problem that his tube for shichvas zera was stuffed, and his shichvas zera was coming out through the same place where the urine comes out. I don't really understand. You remember very well, but we're going to get into this point. Okay, yeah, we're going to talk about has the teva changed? Has the human body, the structure of the human body adjusted over time? We're going to talk about that. Says Rashi, what's here? What's happening in this anatomy? What was this medical problem that arose? Nekev shiroi lehotzi bo zera nistam. There's a certain hole or tube that's supposed to release the zera, and that was plugged up. V'hayomotzi keri, and he released the keri derech meraglayim, in the place where the urine comes out. where do we see that there are two tubes, for two holes from where things should come out? This is a Gemara in Bechoros. The Gemara Bechoros writes, Shnei nekavim ba'adam. A man has two holes. Echad motzi shesen. One motzi releases the urine. Ve'echad motzi shechvas zera. And the other one releases the semen, or the sperm. Ubeinehem keklipas hashum. And there's a thin membrane between these two orifices, between these two tubes, between these two holes. So the biology that we are describing right now does not match the biology that most of us are familiar with. Because the way Rashi, the Gemara Bechoros is describing that there are two holes in a man, or two tubes in a man that have a little bit of a membrane between them, but there seem to be two holes. And the concern is that the tube from Shechvas Zera was stuffed up, so Shechvas Zera had to be rerouted, redirected through the hole for the urine. What's the case of somebody who has this this plumbing issue or this traffic issue inside their body? So, machloka savra bibi barabai lachshure. After all, Rashi says, what's the, tell me what the problem is. Shrei inkan lo pitsua. Was his testicles crushed? No. V'lo dach. Were they lo pitsua? Was there an injury? An external injury? No injury. Lo dach. Nothing was crushed. Lo karas. Nothing was cut. So just because it was stuffed up is none of the three issues that we render, for which we render a person a pitsua dach or kushivcha. Now, if you want to know some very cool ways to call somebody a name, Rav Papa is going to have one of the top lines of all history. Now, if you notice, who was Rav Bibi the son of? Rav Bibi, as you noticed in the previous line, was Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Comes Rav Papa and says, just because you're from a miserable family, you should say a miserable svara? Let's see what that means. Mishum to also mi mula'i. Mula'i means an unfortunate family. Amrisu mili mulisa. You have to say something that's unfortunate? Because you come from a miserable family, you have to say miserable svaras also. What does it mean? Look at Rashi. Mula'i means because you come from mi mula'i, mi mishpacha umlala, from an unfortunate, sad family. Why? Because Abaye and Rava came from Beis Eli, and we know that Beis Eli had a curse on them, and they had a troubled history, troubled lives, because of something that happened many years previously in the story in the Nevi'im, which we're not going to go into now. And therefore, Rav Papi has the shtach, has this insult to Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, and says, because you come from a messed up family, therefore you have to say messed up svaras. Again, Amoraitic insults. They are always very exciting to come across. But that's nothing to do with our sugya. That's just an insult that you could add to your, you know, your list of insults when you want to insult people. Says Rav Papi, I don't understand why you should be machshir. You're saying that this person with the stuffed tubing that caused the zera to not go through its regular tube but have to be rerouted through the tube of the urine tube, that should make them, that they should be kosher? What do you mean? This zera will not be effective if it's going through the wrong tubes. B'mekoma mevashla. This zera is only able to cook, to ripen, I think would be a better word. It can only ripen and get its potency if it's in the right place. Shelo b'mekoma lo mevashla. If it doesn't ripen in the right place, it won't be ripened properly. Rashi says, now this, there's a lot of wisdom in this. I'll tell you in a moment. Mevashel, misbashel shechvas zera, the shechvas zera could ripen, v'nigmar lahodir lasos peri. Now it happens to be, by the way, that, again, as an aside, the reason why Hashem built the human body, that the zera is produced in the testicles, in the beitzim, in the bayim, which are in a sac outside the body. Isn't that weird? Why is there a sac outside the body where they could be created? Why isn't it inside the body like the rest of everything else? And the answer is because since it's outside the body, the scrotum is outside the body, that sac is a little bit cooler, not as hot as the internal part of the body. So if, let's say, the body, I don't know the numbers, you could probably Google it, but if the body is 98.6 degrees, let's say the scrotum is 96 degrees or 95 degrees, or I don't know, it's 2-3 degrees cooler. And because it's 2-3 degrees cooler, that allows the zera to be productive. If, for example, there is an added level of heat in the scrotum, which I think is called by something called a varicocele, Dr. Jared could correct me, there's something called a varicocele, which is nothing to do with a seal, like something opened and sealed. No, it's spelled differently and it means something else. Varicocele with a C-C-E-L-E at the end, or C-E-L-E at the end, not S-E-A-L. A varicocele is an abundance of blood or blood vessels in the area of the testicle that gives off more heat. And because it gives off more heat, it could ruin the, I'll call the bishul, or the ripening, or the development of the zera, and make it less able to be fertile, for this zera to be to create fertility. So what he's saying, what a puppy is saying, is taka very intelligent. An amora doesn't need my haskama, but even in our whatever little bit of science that I'm familiar with in our modern science, we realize that there's a concept of zera in the right place will ripen properly. If it's in the wrong place, it will not ripen properly. But he's applying it to the tubes. What tube is he talking about? We're going to have to see in a minute. What we have here is a machlokas amoram. Rabbi Barabai says, if the tube that carries the zera is stuffed up and it has to be rerouted to the urine tube, which we'll give it a name in a minute. Right now I'll call it the urine tube for intentionally. Then he's kosher because there was no cutting or pounding or crushing. Comes Rav Papi and says, you're right. There's no crushing or cutting or slicing or injuring. But if the zera is going from the wrong place through the wrong place, it's not going to be able to ripen. And we learned already in the past week or two that the whole idea behind Kushavcha and Petzudak is that the person, something happened to the genitalia that makes the person unable to reproduce. And if the person's tube is stuffed up and has to be rerouted, and the zera has to be rerouted, it's going to go to the wrong place. It's going to go in the wrong, the wrong highways. And if it's going to go down the wrong highways, it's not going to be able to be productive. It's not going to be able to bear children. And that should render the person a Kushavcha because of this stuffing. Now, based on this Gemara, I don't want to go to the Shulchan Aruch yet because we have to figure out what is the anatomy. What in the world is he talking about that there are two tubes? One tube where the zera goes through, one tube where the urine goes through, and the tube where the zera was supposed to come out of, and it got stuffed up, it had to be rerouted through the urine tube. So the Yeshua's Malko, one of the Achronim, Shaz Tshuva Sefer, raised the following shaila, a real shaila, again, an unfortunate story. Aldas hasha'ela she'ishachan is kashrim besula. Guy gets engaged to a girl. Okay. But once he gets engaged, rumors start spreading. What's the rumor? Somebody saw him in the mikvah. What happened when they saw him in the mikvah? V'yotzal of kol, a kol goes out. She'yesh lo nekev begid samach lekitsha beitzim. That they saw, maybe they saw him go to the bathroom, they didn't have, the stalls didn't have those, partitions, and they saw that his hole, he has an orifice, not at the edge, the far edge, where it should be, but closer to the body, closer to the scrotum. And you know what? The rabbi approached this chassan about this issue. And you know what the chassan said? The chassan said, yes, that's correct. I've had it since I was a baby. Heshev ki hanekev hazehu mikatnusu. Ulefi daito hu mitolda. Meaning, that's how I was born. If you ask me, that sounds like it might be hypospadias. He was born with a hole, right? Instead of being at the end of the aver, it's towards the beginning, in the place closer to the base of the aver, closer to the scrotum. And then the chassan added a few words that maybe it's not going to be hyperspace. Let's see. Gam Amar, he said the following. He says that when he goes to the bathroom, you know what happens? The urine drips down from that hole. However, I was married once before, the chassan says. And he says, Amnam Zos Amar Ki Be'esha Mazriya, Mazriya Kish'ar Anashim. And Mazriya, when Zera comes out, that comes out normally. And not only that, but I was married once before and I bore a child. Vaishahu Kvarnasi Isha Vyaldolo Ben Vemes. I had a child, the child happened to die, okay, but that's not anyone's fault. Now I want to marry another woman. So don't tell me that I can't be Masriya. Don't tell me that I'm infertile or that this injury, this injury to this part of my body makes me infertile. That's not true. I have a child. I fathered a child. It is true that I have a hole over there from which the urine drips, but the zera goes out in the right place. Okay, that's the that was the shaila. How do we wrap our heads around this shaila? So I guess the Rav in this town had written to the Gadol, the Yeshuas Malkus, one of the great poskim, and the Yeshuas Malkus says back to this Rav of the town, "Hine kvot harasa kosav, my honor, the rabbi who's writing me the shaila wrote that he already had a child, and if he had a child, then obviously he can't be a krushavcha. We learned that before. We learned when we were introduced to the sigil of krushavcha and p'tuadaka. The whole problem is that you're infertile. So if you're fertile, by definition, you can't be a krushavcha. Krushavcha in a molid. So it must be what happened. Al karcha." So you claimed, the rabbi and the local rabbi claimed, that must be what was injured. What was only injured must be the urine tube was injured, but the zera tube was still intact. And that's why he's okay. He was able to have a child because only his urine tube was injured, not his zera tube. Like the Gemara of Bechara said, we saw that Gemara. The Gemara says that it's possible that a person could have his urine tube, his zera tube injured, and his urine tube. There are two tubes. One tube is intact. One tube is messed up. Says the Yeshuas Malko Rabosai. Look at what we're about to see. What you are writing to me, he accuses this rabbi, based on the Gemara in Brachoros, that there are two tubes, and it must be that one tube is intact, one tube is ruined. Chalila lismoch al zeh. You don't know basic anatomy. You are paskening based on something that is not the truth. That's not what science tells us. Because we know, says the Yeshuas Malko, we know there's one tube. There's no such thing as a zera tube and a urine tube. There's one tube called the urethra. The urethra is the single tube that travels through the aver, and it carries both the zera and the meraglayim. Might not do it at the same time, but it carries both the zera and the merag glayim. They both travel through the one tube. Is that two tubes? Oh, what about that Gemara? What about that Gemara? Masha'om b'yavamos b'choros hu samach l'guf k'shehem yotzin mehaguf. That which the Gemara says that there are two tubes, that's talking about internally. Inside the body, before the stuff, either the zera or the urine, comes out through the aver, exiting through the shaft, where the shaft only has one tube, the urethra. Inside the body, that's where there are numerous tubes. And therefore, you can't rely on this Gemara in Bechoros that you understood to mean that there are two different tubes. Rabosai, with your permission, I would like to show you an image. Thank you for one of the physicians for sending me this image. If you look here, could you see where my cursor is? Just give me a thumbs up if you could see where my cursor is. Do you see me moving my cursor? Okay. So here we have the urethra. The urethra is the tube, basically, that leaves the body. This is the aver. The aver starts around over there, protruding from the body. You see there's one dark brown tube that comes out. Yeah, there's a little bit of a wider area right before the opening. That's where some people might have mistaken to think that there are really two tubes there, but there's one tube here. That tube will be the urethra, which will carry both the zera and the urine. Oh, but inside the body, look what we have here. Here we have the beitza. Here we have the beitza. The testicle, the testis. This whole pouch is the scrotum. Inside there is the testes. And what do you have? You have the tube. The vas deferens is what carries the zera from the testicle. And look at this. Wow. Do you know how long that is? So I looked it up. That's a foot long. Believe it or not, the vas deferens is a foot long. It carries the zera from the beitzim all the way through the abdomen and all around. And then only here does it meet the beginnings, the backside, the interior, the side that's inside the body of the urethra. Now, what's happening, you know, what else is happening in this air part of the body? You also have the bladder with all the urine. And notice, at the bottom of the bladder, you have a tube coming out. I don't know what it's called. Maybe it's called the external urethral sphincter, but I really don't know. You have this tube coming from the bladder, bringing the urine towards the urethra outwards. Now, this bladder, this urine, which is coming from the bladder downwards, there, right where my cursor is, there's only urine. However, look at the vas deferens. The vas deferens, which took the zera all the way up from the testicle, up through the abdomen, up and around. Over here, this tube, the vas deferens, which is carrying the zera, is only by itself. There's only zera there. It gets to what was called the ejaculatory duct that you see here on the screen. And there it's still only zera. Only when it hits this point, this vertex of where the tube for the bladder and the tube that's the extension of the vas deferens, that's only there, is there a meeting between the zera and the, where the zera would come in, and the, I'm sorry, where the urine would come in and the zera comes in on the angle, and then they meet at the base of the urethra and one will come out or the other will come out through a single tube. And therefore, says the Yeshuas Malko, whatever the Gemara is talking about, that Gemara in Bechoros that says, the Gemara in Bechoros says that there is some kind of issue with the tubes, one tube was blocked and the other, it had to go to the other tube, it must mean that it was blocked. Where are these two separate tubes? Up there, before they meet. But once they meet at the base of the urethra, there's only one urethra, one single tube. There's no urine tube, there's no zera tube. It's one tube called the urethra that's going to carry both of them. And says Yeshua Smalka, we only have one tube, and you can't assume there are two different tubes. And when the Gemara in Bechoros talks about two different tubes, it must mean that at the more internally, before the urethra, where there indeed is just a zera tube, the vas deferens, and what the ejaculatory duct, that, you're right, there's a zera tube, and there's whatever before it gets the urethra, that part, that's just a urine tube. There might have been some blockages, and there might have been rerouting. That's what the Gemara in Bechoros is referring to. But don't say that there are two different tubes, and one tube gets blocked up, and another tube doesn't get blocked up. There's no such thing as two tubes on the outside of the body. And therefore, if this guy is able to have children, forget the, nothing to talk about. He's definitely not a kush shafcha. What I just told you is not, Dr. Jarrett, what you heard, is against what you just heard. However, Dr. Jarrett, what you heard is the Fali Chazanish. Comes the Chazanish and says, what you just see in this picture, that again, the outside of the body starts at this cursor and goes down. But there's a lot of stuff, I told you the vas deferens is a foot long. All these things that are inside the abdomen, there's plenty of stuff happening inside the abdomen. Says the Chazanish the following. This is the Chazanish in Eben HaEzer, Yud Beis Sif Zion. Says the Chazanish, I don't know how he knew all this, but the Chazanish knew everything, and he knew everything about the body. How? Don't ask me, but I will tell you a story from somebody who I heard from his mouth. I had a friend, my father's friend, actually, in Flappish. His name is, maybe some of you know him from Flappish, Steve Kevelson. Steve Kevelson built many mikvahs. He built the main Flappish mikvah. He built the old Flappish mikvah. He built the new Flappish mikvah. And he made his money in concrete, in cement, and in pipe, and in plumbing piping. He spent a lot of time in Eretz Yisrael. And when he was a young man, he learned in Hebron for high school, and then went back, when he came back to America, started his business. He took over for his father's business, Nate Kevelson, who was the original builder of the Flappish Mikvah, and he was in the concrete business. He went to the Chazanish, this is decades and decades ago. I'm telling you what he told me. I walked into the Chazanish, and the Chazanish said, what do you do? He said, I'm in concrete, or something like that. Steve Kevelson told me, the Chazanish knew more about concrete than I knew. And I worked in it for years. The Chazanish knew more about concrete than I knew. I heard that from, I'm telling you his name, He's on to, he's in the Olam HaEmes right now. Steve Kevelson had passed away a few years ago. But he said to me that the Chazish knew more about concrete than I did, and I'm in the business. He lived concrete. So just, that's the Chazanish. So we have the Chazanish. How did the Chazanish know what's happening? But you'll see what the Chazanish is about to say. Maybe he has an anatomy picture like I have right here. Maybe he looked at the anatomy books. Maybe, I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe he learned the sugyas and he figured it out. Let's see what the Chazanish says. Kfi yudua al pi rofim. The doctors know, hashvila nechnasim l'omek baguf. The tubes go deep into the body, into the abdomen, va'ovrin kmo chatzi keshes, and they have like a rainbow. Ad shenechnasim l'gid, until they reach the gid. So Rabosai, look here. You see the rainbow? They go through an arc, until they enter the gid, until they enter the back of the urethra, right there. Exactly as he's describing. Va'ovrin derechutz, and the zera, or whatever, the zera, the urine, go through the gid, v'zarm lechutz, and they shoot outwards. Umidelo huzkru b'gmara poske mashma, Rabosai, we're about to see something that is so important and will affect every shaila that you might hear of any surgery that happens in this part of the body, including what might be a vasectomy. Gentlemen, when we speak of injuries, ptsuadaka, krushafka, are we only talking about things that happen in the external part of the body? What about if some tubes are affected in the interior? Let's say somebody has a laparoscopic surgery, or I don't know if it's laparoscopic, or any other surgery, where they have to slit the abdomen or from the bottom, and they do something in the interior. Does that render a person a krushafka? Let's say they had to cut the vas deferens. This is the vas deferens, right? Which carry the zera from the testicle into the body. Let's say they had to cut, I don't know where they actually do the, maybe Dr. Jared could tell, where they do a vasectomy, where they actually cut the vas deferens when they do want to make a person infertile. The base of the scrotum, that's like over here. Okay, so I don't know what to say about that. That might be problematic. But let's say there was some kind of cut that happened in the abdomen. Says the Chazanish, look what I highlighted here. It's mashma from the Gemara and the Poskim. D'bemakom shehashvilim bifnim. Whatever tubes are inside the body, not hanging out either in the aver or in the scrotum, einam bichlal p'tzuadaka. If the vas deferens would be cut, the tube of the zera tube would be cut over inside the abdomen, this whole area, inside the abdomen, that wouldn't render a person a krushafcha. Ve'en ob nifsal. El im nifza, the only time a person could become pasilakal is if nifza venidach, either in the gid or the beitzim, and then in their tubes. In the actual shaft, or that area, whatever is the aver that comes out of the body, or the scrotum, and in that area, and the tubes in that area, somebody spoke to me last week again about a surgical procedure. I don't know exactly what that surgical procedure was, but if it wasn't in the abdomen that they had to do the something to do with the prostate, some prostate things. Where's the prostate here? There was some this somewhere around here is the prostate. Yeah, here's the prostate. This pink thing is the prostate. So if there was a surgery near the prostate, even though it's right next to the Zera tubes, says the Chazanish, anything internal will not be a shaila of Ptsuadaka and Krushavcha. Even if they have to cut a tube, that will render a person infertile. That will still not render them a Krushavcha. This is incredibly important. Even if the person is neutered, even if the person is sterilized because of the cutting of that tube, that's internal, it's in the abdomen, eino nasa bakal. Just like anyone else who just happens to be naturally sterile. Anything that's inside the body, anything related to the prostate that's in the abdomen, will not render a person a krushafcha. Even if they're sterilized, and we know the whole problem is the sterilization, no, they'll still be kosher. Now, let's go to our point. That was a side point, very important, but now let's go to our point. The second paragraph of the Chazanish. Says the Chazanish, we had a Gemara in Bechoros that was talking about two pathways. The pathway, the urine pathway, and the urine tube, and the zera tube. The problem is, we saw that in the diagram that I just showed you, there's one tube, there's a urethra. In a Gemara mavur, the Hoya Begid Beis Shvila, the Gemara is mashma that there are two tubes. Echad L'Ktanim, V'echad l'shichvas zera. I'm in here on top of the screen. There we go. The paragraph towards the top of the screen. There's one tube for urine, one tube for shichvas zera. And the Gemara talked about the tube of shichvas zera was stuffed up. K'da amr, istatin guvsa de shichvas zera. Okay, now skip down to my highlighted part. Says Chazanish and Dr. Jared, this is what you learned. Ubidover ze nishtanu hatevaim. The human body has changed over time. Ve'etzleinu, by us nowadays, ein begid elishvil echad. We only have one urethra, one tube that carries both liquids in it. Va'zer nichnas begid, the zera enters that, the shaft, berosha shesamach leguf. The Chazanish says nowadays, the zera comes in right over there. The zera comes in to the base of the urethra over there, and then it goes to the urethra. The same urethra that's carrying the urine from there. That's the vertex, and they both come in through one tube, and they leave the body through the one and the same tube. There's no two tubes coming out of a man's body, b'zman hazeh. And if you're bothered by that which I'm saying, says the Chazanish, that how could I say that the world has changed and our bodies have changed? Well, look in Tosus in Avodah Zarah Daf Chavtal Beis. You'll see other points in science that have changed throughout history. So, Dr. Jared, it's fascinating that you told me that there was an edus from a mohel, from an old mohel from a generation or two ago, that there might have been two tubes, two holes, or two somethings. Wow. So you're telling me that the Netter Atlas, I just want this to be on the recording because this is very important, but the Netter Atlas from 30 years ago did indeed say that there is a malfunction of the Aver that could have two tubes, which means that that's certainly possible with it, whatever genetic mutations and like. It is definitely a possibility that there are people with two tubes, even as of 30 years ago. Okay. So what we have, Rabosai, is something wildly incredible. We're not just talking about this very specific shaila that the Gemara told us of what happens if the zera tube is stuffed up. What's the halach ayush kus shifra? We have a fundamental machlokas. What do we do when I see a human body and the Gemara is describing it, not how I know it? Yeshua Smalkus says, look, I mean, don't look too carefully, you're not supposed to look there. But there's one hole, there's one tube, and there's one hole. The Gemara can't mean that there are two tubes. And the Chazanish says, the Gemara says there are two tubes. There must be two tubes. It must be Nishtanu HaTvayim. And therefore, the Gemara was right, but it's talking about the science has changed a little bit over the years. A fascinating way of, you know, and the Yeshua Smalkus is arguing this. Yeshua Smalkus, we said earlier, says, hello, chush machish, I just look, you know, drop your pants and look, and you see there's only one tube there. Chazanish says, no, there's time, it's fine. Okay, so now we're going to have to figure out, you know, how to paskin, you know, or, I don't know if it's going to make a difference, but if there is, when the Gemara says that there's a tube that was blocked, according to the Chazanish, it means a tube in the outside part was blocked. Yeah, we don't have it nowadays. According to the Yeshua Smalkus, when the Gemara says the tube was blocked, it means the tube was blocked and inside the abdomen, in the interior part, where they attack at two different parts of the tubes, it's possible one was blocked and the zera had to go through the urine tube. How that worked, I don't know. While we're in this Chazanish, let's just see one more paragraph because he talks about something that is very important. And while we have the Chazanish open, we have to finish up now. Aldas nituach b'chol yatzios hashesen. Somebody has some kind of, again, I wish I had a urologist here. Somebody had a blockage in the urine canal. Aydei stimas shvil hashesen haba minefichas habasar hayodua. Let's say there's an inflammation. And because of the inflammation, maybe it's a tumor. It blocks the flow of urine that's supposed to be coming out. V'lochets al tzinor hashesen, and it's pressuring the tube, the urine tube, v'sosman, it seals the urine tube, and they had to cut to relieve the pressure and allow the urine to flow out. U'b'shas tanituach mukhrachim l'hafse gav shvil hashechvas zera. When they release that pressure, maybe it's prostate, maybe he's talking about prostate cancer or something, or some kind of pressure on the urine tube that doesn't allow it to come out. They had to also cut, says the Chazon Ish, the tube inside the body, the vas deferens. So there's some pressure over there, and because of that, they had to cut either the vas deferens over there, or they had to cut it over there by the ejaculatory duct. Somewhere they had to cut this tube. Third to last line. L'masha kasavti, ein b'ze isur siris d'oraisa. There's no isur siris d'oraisa, because I told you that anything that's interior to the body, that's in the abdomen, is not considered to be siris. Rakti rabbanan, it's no different than, you know, causing yourself to be infertile, causing yourself to be sterilized because you drank some medicine that made you infertile. And therefore, anyway, of course, if it's sakana, you have to do the surgery regardless, even if there isn't, it's a derisa of sterilizer, because anyway, it's suffix sakana. But either way, since this procedure was done internally, anything that is done internally, even if there's literally a cutting, that would not render the person sterilized. So if, Rabosai, somebody, I'm not saying you should do this, but if somebody would go to the doctor and say, I want to sterilize myself, could you give me a vasectomy? So could you cut the vas deferens? If it would be over here, which is where they do it, somewhere over here, the doctor could say chas v'shalom. That would be an issa d'oraisa. If the guy is a frum yid and the doctor is a frum yid, they could work out a plan to cut it inside the abdomen. And there will still be a cutting of the tube, but since, according to the chazish, the cutting of the tube is interior, is not on the external part of the body, either in the gid or the scrotum, but it's on the interior of the body where my cursor is, that will not render a person a kris shafcha. It will not be an issa d'oraisa of sirus. Might be Nisa Drabbana because he's sterilizing himself, but under certain conditions, there might be more room to maneuver. So at the end of the shiur, we're coming out that according to the Chazon Ish, a vasectomy, not where the doctors want to do it, a vasectomy in the interior of the body, and even the cutting of the vas deferens, might not be an Issa D'Oraisa. That's a wild thing. But either way, it's certainly not something that we should do. Let's finish off with one line. After we learned all the science and all the Machlokas Achronim about the science, we come out with a halacha that I don't know what to do with. It says the Shulchan Aruch, Nistam Shvil Shichva Zera. If a person's tube of the Zera is stuffed up, V'chazor L'Hor Shichva Zera B'Shvil Shemashtimbo, but he ends up seeing Shichva Zera coming out of the tube from which he urinates, Harez Apostle, this person is considered to be a Apostle of Kahal, that's a problem with that. Because there's a problem to his insides that renders him, I guess, infertile, because his zera wasn't able to cook properly because it was going through the wrong tube. But again, practically, I don't know what this means because we don't have two tubes coming out of us. But if there would be somebody who has two tubes in that malformation that Dr. Jared pointed out, and he sees that the zera is coming out from his urine tube, then he would be indeed pasulakal. Be'ez Hashem, next week we're going to speak about an important question when it comes to surgeries or injuries, and that is what happens if one beitza or one tube is damaged, not both tubes, not both beitzim. That, Be'ez Hashem, will be